You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to learn, love, lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live your life in such a way that others would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Summer on the Mount. A lot of things that happened on mounts in God's Word. So we're going to put your Sunday school thinking caps on this morning, and we're going to go through some of the amazing things that happened on mounts before the mount that Jesus, the story about mount, the mount where Jesus gave us his sermon today, gave us his Beatitudes, okay? Now, these are rhetorical questions, so I am expecting responses, but don't respond until after the whole description of the mount is given. Here we go, first one. This is the mount where Noah's Ark finally comes to rest, signaling a fresh start in God's renewed covenant with his creation. Mount Ararat. Okay, we're off to a flying good start. Okay, next one. This is the mount where God tested Abraham's faith when he called to offer his son Isaac, when he was called to offer his son Isaac, where the heart-wrenching obedience to God unfolded. Mount Moriah. I heard it. Moriah. Y'all were a little slow on that one. Okay, Mount Moriah. Okay, now centuries later on this mount, you'll get this one. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments and entered into covenant with his people. Mount Sinai. We're really quiet on this side. And we're way too loud in this front row. Couple more. You're doing good. New Testament now. On this mount, Jesus went up with Peter, James, and John, and before their very eyes appeared Moses and Elijah. The Mount of Transfiguration. Nicely done. Now let's stay in the New Testament, moving forward in this divine narrative. On this mount, many things occurred, like where Jesus began his triumphant entry into Jerusalem and where he wept over the city, where the Garden of Gethsemane was located, where Jesus prayed on the night he was betrayed, and where Jesus led his disciples on the day of his ascension. The Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives. And here we are today. Jesus speaking with all authority to his disciples and to us today, sitting here, standing here, a different mount, a wonderful sermon, and some amazing beatitudes. The Sermon on the Mount. A mount someplace in northern Israel. I did a little research. And it's on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee is where this mount was. And it was also near his ministry headquarters, the city of, and it begins with the sea, the city of, did I hear it? I think I heard it. Capernaum. Yes, that's exactly right. Northern Israel, not southern Israel. Most of his ministry occurred in Galilee, and this is where Jesus is today. And this was not a jagged mountain peak, but a gently sloping natural, scholars are saying, a natural, almost like an amphitheater. And it rose 300 feet above the Sea of Galilee. Now, modern-day sound engineers and historians have noted that a speaker could be standing at the bottom of this slope and speak a normal voice, and the natural acoustics of this place, thousands of people could hear them speak very clearly. That's pretty cool. It's actually really cool, but what Jesus said that day is more than cool. It's eternal life-saving. So, What did he say to his disciples? What did he say to the crowds who overheard him? Because they could, and they did. Matthew says Jesus opened his mouth and taught them. It just came out. Of course it did. He's God's son. And what did he teach them? Well, nine times he says at the beginning, blessed are. Seems like a pretty big deal, blessed are. But also seems to me that he meant something very different than what we would think of as blessed today, or at least some of the time. External accumulation versus internal transformation. Internal transformation. Now, in modern culture today, blessed is often used to represent good fortune or material wealth or situational comfort. We use the word blessed, don't we, in those instances? But Jesus turns these ideas of being blessed upside down in his very first beatitude, the one that we had read this morning, or that I read this morning. You see, Jesus defines being blessed by a person's spiritual condition, his posture toward God. We look at full shopping carts, overflowing bank accounts, and filled up social calendars as signs of God's favor. Now, to the world, a full life is a blessed life. But is it? You see, Jesus starts this Sermon on the Mount not with fullness, but with emptiness. Empty hands, begging hands. Hands out for a handout. You see, the world can't give you what you really need. We need forgiveness. Forgiveness won for you on another mount. Mount begins with a C. It's not up there. Mount Calvary. Yet Jesus won for you a victory on that mount where Jesus, he gave up his life, he gave up his spirit, both for you and for me. It's the only way he could save us from ourselves, save us from our sinful condition. You see, there's nothing we can offer from this world that can give us what Jesus gives us. You see, we have nothing, but he offers everything. Jesus isn't giving us a how-to guide to be happy this morning. He's exposing our total spiritual bankruptcy. We cannot save ourselves. And the Beatitudes show us the posture of faith. Hands out for a handout. Maybe you see it a little more clearly now. Hopefully it's becoming obvious now that what Jesus means by being poor in spirit is hands out for a handout. We looked into our empty hands this morning and realized we are completely poor in spirit. But because of the cross, where Jesus suffered and died on Mount Calvary, we are blessed beyond measure. You see, on Calvary, Jesus took our spiritual bankruptcy and our being cursed and our failures according to not being able to follow the law, and he gave up his spirit. It is finished. And it was finished. And it still is. He gave up his spirit so that you might be blessed. He credited his perfect righteousness to us. This is being poor in spirit. Understanding that Jesus did it all. Remember that from 2 weeks ago? Jesus did it all. And he credited to us as righteousness. We only have to come to him with open hands, ready to receive, because we can't earn it. Hands out for handout. So let me ask you this morning, are your hands out, empty, needing forgiveness, asking for forgiveness? Like I said a couple weeks ago, it probably depends, doesn't it? Sometimes our hands aren't out for a handout because we're trying to do it all ourselves. Sometimes we're not poor in spirit, are we? The world and Satan convince us to fill our hands with achievements of wealth and earthly comforts. Are those bad in themselves? Not necessarily, but they can become a distraction from being poor in spirit. You see, the world cannot give you what you really need. Forgiveness. On Mount Calvary, on the cross, Jesus gave up his spirit so that your empty hands can be filled to overflowing with his eternal blessing. Blessedness comes entirely in the substitution of Jesus on the cross, not you. Jesus died in your place so that you can live in his place. His kingdom forever. You see, you aren't just forgiven. You've been clothed with this very robe of righteousness. True blessing wasn't earned and won't be earned by our effort. It was given by the sacrificial love on Mount Calvary. He gives, we receive. Hands out for a handout. Martin Luther understood this. Understood very clearly at the end. On his deathbed, 2 days before he died, he wrote down his final theological thoughts. They were found in his pocket on a piece of scratch paper. There was no boasting of his achievements, no boasting of his all the books that he wrote, no boasting of his Reformation. No, the very last thing that Martin Luther wrote was this: Wir sind Bettler. I'm a beggar. Hands out for a handout. Humble, spiritually bankrupt, total dependence on God. This is being blessed by being poor in spirit, friends. It's the opposite of self-righteousness, pride, and spiritual self-sufficiency. Those who are poor in spirit recognize their sin. Those who are poor in spirit are helpless. Those who are poor in spirit know they don't have the ability to earn anything before God. No. They come empty-handed. Hands out for a handout. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.